New safety questions about the Rolls-Royce of jet engines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, and for Steve Chiotakis, we've got the global perspective for you this hour, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the U.S. The Australian airline Qantas is grounding its fleet of six Airbus Super Jumbos for another 3 days. The carrier has found problems on three more engines following last week's scary engine failure on an A380. Let's check with Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. How major is this problem they've turned up in these engines, Stephen?
Well, it's not hugely serious in itself. They found what could be a small oil leak in three engines. But since these engines are only 2 years old, this is unusual, and it's obviously a bit worrying in the wake of last week's incident where one of these Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines suffered some kind of blowout, forcing an emergency landing.
Well, how big of an embarrassment is this for Airbus?
Well, this is a new aircraft. It's only been in service for 3 years with a new engine. These kind of teething troubles do happen. But as Mark Pilling, editor of Airline Business magazine, points out, the grounding of the A380s has underlined the obvious downside of operating these super jumbos from the carrier's point of view.
It's such a large aircraft, you're talking about such huge volumes of passengers that are disrupted, when these aircraft go out of the fleet. I mean, in a way, luckily Qantas has only got six so far.
Even so, it's proved quite a headache for Qantas to bring in enough backup planes. The bigger embarrassment, though, is probably for Rolls-Royce, the engine maker, which is going through a bit of a sticky patch. The company has also been accused of being partly responsible for the delay in the Boeing 787 because of engine test failures.
Our European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
OK, Bob.
Let's do the numbers. The major markets in London, Paris, and Frankfurt all down at this hour, close to a quarter of a percent. The bulls kept running in Tokyo this morning, though. The Nikkei average was up more than 1%. The G20 nations meet this week in South Korea. One topic of conversation is likely to be quantitative easing. That's the Fed's decision to pump $600 billion into the economy to help improve it. It hasn't been a popular decision among members of the G20. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau to talk about it. Elisa, President Obama is in India today. Tell us what the conversation about quantitative easing sounded like in New Delhi.
Well, there actually wasn't much of a conversation. President Obama was asked whether quantitative easing weakened the dollar, and he avoided answering the question. He said the Fed doesn't take orders from the White House and that it would be inappropriate for him to comment on the policy.
Well, it seems like a lot of the world is really unhappy about this decision, though. What's going on there?
Well, a lot of countries are saying it was a bad decision, that in the long run, it's going to do more harm than good. Russia came out saying the G20 should have been consulted before the Fed decided to implement it. China said the U.S. didn't think about what the effect of all this extra liquidity is going to have on emerging markets. Germany's Angela Merkel has come out strongly against it. I mean, the list goes on.
So are we seeing any effects of quantitative easing just yet?
Well, it seems like it. Oil prices were up more than 6% last week. That's to the highest levels in 2 years, though they've come down a bit since then. That's all because the dollar got stronger against the euro. And gold, which is often seen as a hedge against inflation, was also up.
Elisa Roth in New York, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
This is a given. Transportation is vital to our economy. But what happens when fuel taxes are lost to more efficient cars and better mass transit? In the first of a series on the future of transportation, Kathy Ducham looks at one alternative to the gas tax, something called congestion pricing.
To understand the concept of congestion pricing, we take a ride on the Washington, D.C. Beltway with David Lewis. He's a transportation economist with the consulting firm HDR. Right now, the lanes we drive in are toll-free. With congestion pricing...
You see that steel girder that crosses the road?
Right.
That would be mounted with cameras and electronic devices.
Those devices would record when we cross from a free lane into a designated toll lane that's moving faster.
And at the end of the month, you'd get a bill for making that trip.
That's the way congestion pricing works. Instead of a tax on the amount of gas you use, you get taxed on the miles you drive, and you pay more to drive in the peak commute. Lewis says, think of it like a surcharge for a movie.
No one objects to paying more to go to the movies on a Saturday night than they pay to go to the matinee.
Lewis says even the most skeptical drivers will pay the tolls when they see less traffic.
So if we could reduce the volume of traffic that we're stuck in right now by 10%, our speed might go up by 20%.
Congestion price lanes can be found in California and Colorado. There's also one on the Virginia side of D.C. On the Maryland side of the Capitol, there are plans for a highway where all lanes will be tolled. It's called the Intercounty Connector. As you'd expect, there's opposition.
Very concerned that the tolls are going to be charged will price many of the public off the road.
Phil Andrews is a county councilman in the suburbs where the new highway is under construction. Andrews agrees people should pay more for transportation. But he says 25 cents a mile, the approved rate for the new highway, is too much. Andrews wants to revisit the gas tax.
I think the gas tax needs to be raised each year by a nickel to a dime until it's producing enough revenue to fund the transportation projects that we need.
But policymakers wonder about the day when we're all driving electric cars. There won't be much gas to tax. That's one reason why support for congestion pricing continues to grow. In Gaithersburg, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, lots of kids have cell phones these days but aren't allowed to bring them to class. Enter a man with a plan. Mobile storage for mobile phones. The New York Daily News reports today more than 700 students are paying a dollar each every school day to leave their phones with an enterprising businessman. He's parking panel trucks outside a couple of schools in the Bronx. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Remember Knight Rider, the talking car? Well, the future's here, and it'll even compliment you.
And we find that that type of flattery encourages drivers to feel like, gee, the car cares about me, the car's thinking about me, and the car thinks I'm smart.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. No need to keep your eyes on the road or your hands upon the wheel. A story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.